Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the host of this show, Eric Metaxas, is a demanding taskmaster.
For example, he insists on my announcing this show at all hours of the day and night. In other words, whenever you listen to it, I must announce it. That's the rule. So please,
please, try and listen to this show at a reasonable time.
My wife and kids never get a good night's sleep, and it's destroying our family. No pressure.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. We have a special guest today, not like all those other days where our guests are duds, let's be honest. Today, we have Dr. Chauncey Crandall. He's been on the show, but not on this show, not on video. We are thrilled to have him. He is a cardiologist in Palm Beach. He wrote a book called Raising the Dead. I want to talk to him about that because he's also a Christian who believes in the Holy Spirit and our ability to do things like pray for healing and even raising the dead. He has a brand new book out called Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. I want to talk to him about that as well. Of course, Dr. Chauncey Crandall, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Eric. It's a blessing to be with you today.
Well, it's a blessing to all of us to get to have this conversation. And thank you for wearing your medical jacket, because I know audiences, you know, I introduce people and they don't know what's going on. So it's very clear that you're a doctor and I'm not. Now, look, I want to talk to you before we talk about COVID and a number of things and your new book about COVID. I want to talk to you about your previous book and the story that brought you to my attention. We have some mutual friends. Let's just start there. You're a cardiologist. You're in Palm Beach. Can you tell the story to my audience of what you experienced some years ago?
Well, you know, Eric, I was running after everything that God could give me. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit, and I was pursuing that. I had been brought up a Presbyterian. I didn't know about the fullness of the gospel. But I heard from missionaries that you could actually pray for the dead and that they could be raised up in the name of Jesus. And as a scientist, as an academic, I thought that was fascinating. I didn't really know anyone that had prayed for someone that had passed and they came back to life. But one day, Eric, it happened to me. One day when I did not feel godly or even worthy to pray for someone, the Holy Spirit spoke to me to pray for a man that had been dead for 40 minutes on his way to the morgue. And this day was a very busy day for me. I didn't feel prepared to even pray for anybody. But
how many years ago was this? When was this?
I was around 2007, I believe. And that was some years
ago. Not very long ago. I always want to get these facts straight. So what was your position at that time? What's the hospital and what was your position in the hospital at that time?
I was one of the interventional cardiologists, one of the major cardiologists at a hospital in the north part of Palm Beach County. And this was a man in his 50s that presented to the hospital with massive cardiac arrest. They were working on him for over 40 minutes in the emergency room. They called me in at the last part of this resuscitation, asking my advice. Was there anything that I could do? What else could we do for this man? I made a couple suggestions, but it had been 40 minutes without.
Just because my interruptions are because of my ignorance, I have to ask questions that because I want to be clear on this. He had been dead, you said, for 40 minutes. In other words, what you're saying, I think, I want to be clear, is that he's brought in, he's dead, but there's the possibility of reviving him with the paddles, with any number of things. And so you're obliged to try that. But I think, as I heard the story before, your team felt it's over. It's been 40 minutes and there's nothing happening. So they effectively called you in because you were the only one that could officially pronounce him dead, which is what they assumed you were going to do.
Correct. That's what we did. We presented ourselves. The outcome looked poor. There was no heartbeat. There was no brain activity. So we ended the cardiac arrest after 40 minutes of trying to bring this man back in the physical with every medicine that we could possibly use without success. And as the nurses were preparing the body, pardon me?
Before you talk about preparing the body for the morgue, does it happen after 30 minutes of somebody being dead that you can medically revive them? I mean, that's an extraordinary concept to me.
Usually you cannot revive them, but at times some people will physically recover, but their brain will not recover. They will be brain dead, and eventually after a couple of days, they will die. All metabolism
stops. After how many minutes dead, as this man was for 40, typically does the brain function end? In other words, if you revived him after 30 minutes, you're saying you've revived him technically, but he's never going to be who he was.
Well, that's the case. Usually they have significant brain damage. They don't survive after that length of time. You're right.
Okay, so it had been 40 minutes, and you said you were preparing him for the morgue. What does that mean?
Well, when someone dies, the nurses come in, they prepare the body for the viewing by the family, they clean the body, they remove all the hardware, the IVs, the tubes, they sponge the body down, they clean the body to present to the family. And this is what was happening in that room. I was there alone with the patient, with one nurse, and she was preparing the body for the morgue. I was completing my note. And then I left the room, Eric. I started walking down the hallway to see other patients. And as I was walking, I heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. And he said, turn around and pray for that dead man. And I thought to myself, I can't pray for a dead man. I've never prayed for a dead man, you know. And I kept walking. And I kept walking down the hall. And the voice came back a second time, Eric. The voice said, turn around and pray for that dead man. So I turned around and I thought to myself, you know, I denied the Lord before and I felt terrible about it. Here the Lord is speaking to me. I will return to the room, but I do not know what to pray. I've never prayed for anyone like this. And as I walked into that room, the body was there, Eric, the head over here, the feet over here. I presented myself to the side of the body. The nurse was on the other side, preparing that body for the morgue, and I laid my hands on his abdomen, Eric. I didn't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit came on me. And as I was praying over that body, these are the words that the Holy Spirit gave me. Father God, if this man does not know you as Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now in the name of Jesus. And as I said that prayer, I backed off from the body. The nurse looked at me like I was a crazy man. And as I continued to move backwards, it was as if God took my hand and raised it above my head as if to praise him during that moment. And then the other doctor walked in, and I said, shock this man one more time. And the doctor said, no, Dr. Crandall, it's over. It's too late. He's gone. I said, shock him one more time. And as I said that, that doctor came over with the paddles after we had declared him dead on the way to the morgue and shocked that body. And immediately a perfect instant heartbeat came back. His abdomen started moving. His hands started moving. His feet started moving. All of a sudden, a gush of air came out of his mouth, and the nurse on the other side of the stretcher screamed, what are you doing? What is happening now? The Holy Spirit was in the room, and he was recreating life into that dead man. And I didn't know what to do, Eric. I had never been in this situation. And we took
We're going to go to a break. This is called a cliffhanger in show business. Folks, I know you won't go away. There's more. Stick around. Set things right. Snow. folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Dr. Chauncey Crandall. Dr. Crandall, this is such an amazing story. There are tons of people, you know, who are going to listen to this and not believe it. Now, you are a big deal cardiologist in Palm Beach. You're not a nut. Or maybe you are a nut. You know, who's to say? The fact of the matter is, you have witnesses. You did this. It happened. Now, the reason the doctor said to you, do not resuscitate, right? Because you come in there and you say, you know, hit him with the paddles again after 40 minutes. I'm assuming that that the person to whom you say this is thinking, are you misunderstanding something, Dr. Crandall? This guy is going to be a vegetable. It's been 40 minutes. And if we do resuscitate him, what good will come of it? He's gone. And so you tell him to do it nonetheless. And you're telling me he comes back with a perfect heartbeat. Now, only because you and I have talked before and I read your book, you're saying that that never happens. In other words, when you hit somebody with the paddles after a long time, if they do come back, their heartbeat would not be normal, and they certainly would not have normal brain activity.
Not a dead man that's ice cold, Eric. He was ice cold. His body was black with death. His body was so black, it overwhelms me. That is,
what do you mean black? I don't understand that. Is that necrosis? What are you talking about?
Well, when a body dies, it starts becoming necrotic. It turns dark. The body becomes hardened and cold, much like clay, as the Bible describes. It's beyond repair. It's beyond coming back to life. This body was gone, and he. You know, it was an amazing experience. And 3 days later, this man woke up. And as I was in his room, this man woke up. And I said, where were you that day that I prayed for you?
Hold on. This is just, I want to get everything right. And forgive me because I keep interrupting, but I want to make sure I'm getting this right. So you're telling me that they hit him with the paddles and he gets a restored heartbeat, restored brain activity. He's breathing. He goes from being a genuine corpse, cold and hard, to living. And so you're saying for 3 days from that point on, what happened before what you're describing? What was going on medically? In other words, the nurse screams. What happens at that point? Just so we don't miss it.
He was being maintained in the intensive care unit. He did not wake up for 3 days. And 3 days after the 3 days passed, I came to make my rounds in the morning. And that morning, he woke up as I entered his room. The power of the Holy Spirit walked into his room. He felt that. He woke up. And I said, Jeff, where were you that day that I prayed for you in the emergency room? Where did you go that day? And he had an amazing story, Eric, that he went to hell. He went to total darkness. And he kept saying, I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed. I said, what are you disappointed about? He said, my family, my colleagues, my friends, no one visited me. I was in total darkness for eternity. Total darkness is what he explained. And after being there forever and ever and ever, these men came in and I was worth nothing. And they threw me in the trash heap, the Valley of Gehenna. They threw me into the trash heap to burn and to die in the pit of hell. And I said, Jeff, never again do you have to go through this experience. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be born again and you will never go to hell. You'll be with God in eternity when you pass again. And he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior that day, Eric. It was an amazing event.
I got to say, you know, I've heard this before, but it's so staggering to me. I'm thrilled my audience is getting to hear this. Now, the name of that book is called Raising the Dead. It's by you, Dr. Chauncey Crandall. When he says that he went to hell, I mean, what was his experience of it? Did he know it was hell or did he just think it was horrible and unpleasant? Did he have the vocabulary to explain it as hell, or did he describe it just subjectively?
He said it was total darkness of being alone without anyone. That's how he described it. Not fire, but total darkness in eternity, forever and ever alone. Okay. No communication. And it was a horrible experience. And Eric, the other amazing thing, during that period of 3 days, he gave a story of angels ministering to him during that period of time, that they were comforting him. And they were saying that everything will be okay. And then he said, after being in eternity, this doctor came in and prayed over his body, and his life was restored.
He's talking about what happened in the 40 minutes, not in the 3 days, right? Yeah. Because this is when he was actually dead.
Correct.
And you said before the angels ministered to him, he was thrown onto the trash heap, the burning heat of Gehenna. In the Bible, of course, it talks about this trash dump where the fires are everlasting because it's burning at all times. So he describes that first. What did he say about that?
He said he was thrown into the trash heap. He was worth nothing to anyone. He was there to die and to burn for eternity. And the Valley of Gehenna in Israel is where the unworthies were thrown into the trash heap and burned. They were worth nothing to anyone. And that was the experience of hell that this man had.
But then afterward, angels ministered to him.
Correct. When he was in the hospital intensive care for 3 days, angels ministered to him, telling him, encouraging him that everything would be okay. And then I come walking in the room 3 days later. The power of the Holy Spirit comes in. He wakes up. He accepts the Lord as Savior.
I mean, what did this do to you, Dr. Crandall? I mean, this is just staggering.
Well, I didn't know what to make of it. And Eric, I didn't want to tell anybody about this experience. You know, as a physician, as a scientist, as a Yale graduate, whatever you want to call it, my job was on the line. My job could be compromised. And in fact, when the story did come out, there was persecution against me. Other physicians wouldn't send me their patients because they said, this doctor prays for people. He believes in the power of God. I am not sending you to that doctor. He is not normal. He's not right in his mind. And, you know, it's a great loss, and we go through persecution as a professional when we proclaim the things of Christ.
Well, it's just a stunning story. I wanted my audience to hear it before we switch over to the COVID conversation. But just to finish this up, we've got a couple of minutes in this segment. You experienced something utterly supernatural. Now, you had been a Christian before this, but obviously this was a new chapter for you. You mentioned the Holy Spirit. Have you since then seen miraculous things? Have you seen healings and those sorts of things since that happened in 2007, or was this a one-off?
Now, this is as I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Eric, it was like everything opened up into the kingdom of God. I carried the authority of Christ in me, and wherever I go in the hospital wards, the kingdom of God goes with me, and miracles happen, creative miracles, dead being raised, not just this man, but others. The power of God, can you believe it? A doctor trained in conventional medicine now has the power of Holy Spirit. So when he treats the sick, the best of Christ, the best of medicine are combined together for the recovery of that patient. And it's fantastic, and it's wonderful, and it's exciting.
Oh, I would think so. I would think so. You say creative miracles. I want to hear a little bit about that. We're going to go to a break, and then I want to talk to you about your brand new book. So the first book is Raising the Dead, but the new book is called Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. Folks, you're listening to the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Dr. Chauncey Crandall in Palm Beach. We will be right back. Hey, folks, welcome back. I'm talking to Dr. Chauncey Crandall. The book is Raising the Dead, and there's a new book, Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. Before we talk about coronavirus, let me just ask you about, you mentioned creative miracles. You've prayed for people. You've seen people healed. What do you mean by creative miracles?
Well, you know, creative miracles is something dramatically happening to a body part that is recreated and returned to normal. With me as a heart physician, we have many people that have sick hearts, failing hearts, that there's no chance of recovery. And through the power of prayer and medicine together, these hearts are totally recreated. A brand new heart, a powerful heart, a perfect heart. But that's not the only thing, Eric. We've prayed for people that have had legs that are short, and these legs have grown out miraculously. 12 inches of growth on a leg. That is a miraculous event that will radically change your life. We've been in the operating room, Eric, where the Shekinah glory of God has shown up in someone that was dead and dying on the operating room table. The Holy Spirit presents himself as a cloud, as a mist in the operating room, blanketing that patient around that body, the glory of God, the recreative miracles of God, the Holy Spirit empowering that patient, new life in him. The glory is so heavy sometimes, Eric, in some of these events that the nurses who are not even saved in the room start weeping and crying under the power of the Holy Spirit in the operating room theater. This, Eric, is exciting, and it's available to all believers in Christ.
I mean, I just have to say that, you know, first of all, I believe this wholeheartedly, but I know a lot of people listening are thinking, wow, this is dramatic. This is new. I'm just so grateful for your willingness to share this, because people need to know this is real. There's a lot of mystery and a lot of questions. Why doesn't it happen to me? I have never seen a miraculous healing that I know of. I've never seen those kinds of things, but I think that we get encouraged when we hear stories like yours, because God wants to unlock these gifts in many of us. So we're gonna turn the page here and talk about your new book and about something a little less dramatic. You have written a book called Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. What is your impetus for writing this book?
Well, you know, Eric, we've got fear with this virus. I mean, all of us are running around in fear. And to be honest with you, I had a period of 4 days when I was really low. This thing just came on me heavy. And I said, you know, we need to tell people what's available. We need to give people a clear story on this virus. You know, we have so many mixed signals coming through the internet, through news media. We don't know what's true, what isn't true, what's false, what's right. So I tried to put this book together in a simple way for people to know what this virus is about and how we can fight it in the natural realm and what we can do to survive it and how we can have power and victory. That is the key, Eric. All of us are entitled to victory as believers in Christ, and we have to enter into it and not be afraid.
Well, I agree with that. But we need to hear it, don't we? It's interesting. I think a lot of times even people of faith can allow themselves to get defeated and negative. I see it a lot of times that people, Christians, can be very negative. And I think to myself, that's not right. I don't care what you're going through. God calls us to rejoice in him always, in all circumstances. So we don't really have an excuse. But obviously, having the facts can sometimes help us, because sometimes it's just ignorance that defeats us. So tell us then, in the natural, you know, you're talking about a disease. I think a lot of people, the reason they're confused is because we've seen such government overreach. We've never seen the American government empowered by circumstances in this way. And so we've seen overreach. In other words, we've seen people marching in the streets and looting and doing all kinds of crazy things and getting a pass from government leaders. We've seen people prohibited from going into churches. It's sort of absurd. So a lot of us are confused about what to make of the current situation, generally speaking, much less medically. But medically speaking, what do you as a medical doctor have to say about it that we might not know?
Well, let me tell you about this virus. This is a new virus. It's a new presentation to our bodies. It came out of China. Was it man-made? I don't know. Was it from a bat? We're not clear on that. But this virus is new to human beings. And because it is new, we have no way of defending ourselves. We don't have built-in immunity to fight the virus. That's why it's causing havoc around the world. That's why it's so contagious. And in fact, this virus is different than other viruses because it's a cone, it's a round sphere, and it has these deadly spikes on it that attach to the endothelium of our lungs, our nasal passages, and it locks in like a fish hook, and it sticks. And when that happens, it causes havoc. So what can we do to prevent this? The first thing is that we need to maintain stability in our mind, because fear is not going to win this battle. And we need to know that for the most part, most people will do very well, even if they get this virus. The people that do poorly are those that are already chronically sick, the elderly, those that are in dialysis units, those that are already immunocompromised, nursing homes. That's a small part of the population. But in general, most people will do very well, except for those at a higher risk.
Okay, so I want to, I'll cut you off there. We're going to go to another break. But you're obviously saying that being mentally strong, having confidence in a sense that that's important. We'll be right back with Dr. Chauncey Crandall. Welcome back. I'm talking to Dr. Chauncey Crandall in Palm Beach. The new book is called Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. You were just saying, Dr. Crandall, that I think you were implying that by being confident and not being fearful, that somehow that's connected to our medical condition. Were you making that kind of connection, or did I just misinterpret you in that?
Well, Eric, when you feel defeated and down, your immune system becomes depressed. And this is a Christian
audience. Okay, I didn't know that as a medical. You're a medical doctor, so you're saying that that's a fact. In other words, if we're defeated and depressed, it does affect our immune system. I mean, that makes sense, but I've never heard that from a doctor.
Absolutely. And we as Christian believers, I believe this show is going out to believers, we have the power of Christ. We have the blood of Jesus on us. And no virus, no demon can attack us. And we need to know this. And we need to proclaim Christ and the blood of Christ over our homes and over our businesses and over our families. We have an advantage that many people in the world do not have. And we must use that in addition to things that are in the natural to combat this virus.
Well, there are many people who call themselves Christians who don't know what you just said. I've tried to say this on my program. I've had guests say this, and it's good to hear you say it, that I think many times Christians do not walk in anything like the authority that God wants them to walk in, to understand the demons should be scared of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. But if you don't know that and you don't walk in that, in effect, it's like, you know, the weapons are in the safe. You really are a sitting duck. And so it's important to hear you say that, because I do think that some people get it and others don't. I want to ask you about the vaccine, the idea of creating a vaccine for this. We're hopeful that that will happen sooner rather than later. But there have been some voices in the Christian community, in the prophetic community, that have said things that I think are alarming and probably wrong. Some have said that that vaccines can change our DNA. Don't get a vaccine. That this can be something that can be used by the government to track us. That sounds to me like, you know, tinfoil hat wearing looniness. I understand caution with regard to vaccines, but would you say that vaccines are something that people can get, or do you take a stand against them for medical reasons?
Well, yeah, I'm not supportive of all vaccines, but something like this, if you're an elderly patient or someone at high risk, yes, I believe you probably should get the vaccine if it's been proven to be a benefit. But someone young, I don't think it's necessary. I'm not an advocate overall for vaccines. But, you know, we need to make sure that the testing is reliable, the studies are reliable, the results are reliable. We're getting a lot of false information from that perspective. But the thing is, Eric, you're entitled to good health as a believer in Christ. You have to follow the rules in the natural. You need to exercise. You need to sleep well. You need to keep your stress down. You need to eat correctly. All of these things are going to help you and build your body up so you can go into the battle daily where this virus is all around us. And if you do that, I believe you'll make it through this battle victorious.
Well, so you see this as a doctor. In other words, putting faith aside, you see that if somebody is exercising and eating well and is generally healthy, they are much more successful at defeating whatever comes at them. And if somebody is in generally poor health, they're effectively sitting ducks. But I mean, you've witnessed this. I mean, because you don't often hear doctors talk about exercise and that kind of thing, but you're saying that really is important.
Well, you know, yesterday I was interviewing the nurses in the intensive care unit, and they're with these patients all day, every day, and the nurses are not getting sick. They're in better health. Yes, they are taking precautions, but they're, light went off. I said, you know, everybody's playing this thing as something terrible, terrible, terrible. Well, for the large part of the population, 98%, this is not that bad. We will make it through this battle, and you're going to be okay. But the news media is focusing on the 2% that when they get this disease, they have extreme issues. So we need to back off a little bit. We need to open up, and we need to realize that we as believers in Christ, if we do a simple healthcare plan, we can make it through this without any difficulty.
And so I know your book is already out. It's already a bestseller. It's called Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. What else do we need to know about it medically that we might not be hearing?
Well, I think there are some things in the natural that you can do. You can take vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin A, zinc, selenium. These are all things that are helpful to build up your immunity. This virus attaches to the mucous membrane, so if you're taking things that will improve a barrier to the virus, like these vitamins, I think they're quite helpful. We go over that in the book. We go over some dietary issues, but we try to explain what this is all about so you can have a better handle on how you can walk day to day and beat this thing without walking in fear, Eric. Everyone is fearful. Houses are being locked down. Schools are being locked down. Chaos is being elevated to all extremes. And, you know, I just think a lot of this is unnecessary, and we need to regroup and reevaluate.
Well, it's a funny thing. There is a lot of fear. And I think you find at times like this, there are people, you know, who are prone to hysteria, and they become in a way voices of fear. I was jogging. I run here in Manhattan, and a woman shrieked at me, actually cursed at me for not wearing a mask. And I thought to myself, you know what? The idea of wearing a mask when you're running, when you're breathing, you know, you couldn't wear a mask. You'd die of you know, a carbon dioxide poisoning if you were wearing a mask and running 5 miles or whatever. But I think there are people that are just, they've become hysterical. So it's important to hear what you're saying. We're going to go to a final break. We'll be right back, folks. Final segment with Dr. Crandall.
Get back home. Sleep pretty, darling. Do not cry.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, wow, what a conversation. I'm talking to Dr. Chauncey Crandall, cardiologist in Palm Beach. We spoke earlier about his experience praying for someone who was dead and that person coming back to life. There's a book about it. If you're skeptical, you can check out the book. And now we're talking about the coronavirus. But Dr. Crandall, what I find so fascinating and compelling about you is that you're not just a medical doctor. You're an acclaimed, celebrated medical doctor who nonetheless has robust faith. It seems to me that you don't really divide the two, that there's a seamless reality for you, and that faith is a part of life and does connect to the medical realm. Talk to my audience, I mean, many of whom don't have the kind of faith that we have, about your view there.
Well, you know, Erica, I went to church for most of my life, but I never really had a relationship with God. And by working in a hospital, there were unanswered questions that I had regarding patients and illness and death and even birth. And by observing and by example of the Holy Spirit coming on me, these things became evident that there was something else out there, Eric, that God was there, and he was there to love us and to assist us. And it's really been a journey in my life to finally realize that I am not in this battle against disease and infirmity alone, that I have the power of the Holy Spirit, I have Jesus Christ with me, and where medicine fails and stops, Eric, I can enter into prayer and call on my Savior, Jesus Christ, to come on the scene and change the impossible. And I've seen this repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly in my life. And it's really a battle, Eric, to push the world out and to accept the things of Christ in and to live this lifestyle. It demands discipline. It demands reading the Word of God. But I will tell you, Eric, when you see a dead man raised up in the name of Jesus, it will totally transform your mind and say, my God is real, and this Lord is available to everyone listening by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it is an exciting journey here. Every day is full of excitement that our Christ is available and there today at this minute.
Well, one of the reasons that I do this show is because, you know, I lived a good chunk of my life not knowing any of this. And I'm aware of the fact that there are tons and tons of people who just never hear this. They never hear it from a credible source like you or me or many of the guests that I have. They never hear this. They're never exposed to it. They may go to church. They may think of themselves as people who believe in God, but they simply don't begin to live in what God has for them. And by having you on today, Dr. Crandall, I wanted to expose those folks to something new that God has for them. Let's be blunt. God has this for everybody listening. This is not a special thing for Dr. Chauncey Crandall or for me or for a handful of special religious people. This is basic Christianity. This is the basics that are for, that's for everyone who's interested. And I declare that emphatically. We're out of time. I hear the sirens. They're coming for me. Dr. Crandall, congratulations on the new book, Fight Back, How to Beat the Coronavirus Today. And congratulations on all you're doing. I hope to see you in person again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.